So in my estimation, as AI continues, we're going to see way more of just people looking for a solution, and then they're going to find their counsel in the computer, not through Christ. And that's going to be a problem.
Pastor Mike Signorelli, it's always a pleasure to be able to have you here on Charisma News. And before we got started recording, you and I were just catching up a little bit. Man, there's so much that we're going to talk about today. You need to make sure that you watch this to the very end, because Mike has a very special message that he's got to share. And you know, you need to share this with friends and family, because you do not want to miss what God is going to be saying here. And Pastor Mike is going to be releasing. It's inspiring. And it's going to change your life. So, Mike, welcome back to Charisma News.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a viral prophetic word already, and I can't wait for people to hear it at the end of the video. But we're going to jump into all kinds of fun stuff, because revival is truly happening right now.
Amen. Amen. You know, Mike, one of the things that I love about this world, you know, social media is it can be a time suck, and it can pull us away from the things of God. But man, it also lets us know what's happening in the body of Christ. And I saw this poster of your film, your movie coming out, that is the Domino Revival. And I immediately took a screenshot of it. And I think I texted you like right away, say, bro, we got to talk about this. Tell me about it. Give me some inside scoops.
Yes. Okay. So theaters across the United States, October 24th, are going to be filled with a movie about revival that shows medically verifiable miracles and prophecies and deliverances and healings all happening on film. I mean, it's unlike any movie you've ever seen before. And imagine some of your favorite revivalists and preachers and ministers from all over the United States all in one movie about revival. And so October 24th, I mean, it's going to be in a theater close to you, most likely, if you're hearing this right now. The biggest thing is get tickets before they sell out, because as we know, these opportunities are not given by Hollywood often.
Yeah.
And as soon as the trailer released, I mean, America started talking. And I believe that Jesus Revolution, for example, was awesome, totally broke the box office. Mm-hmm. But imagine Jesus Revolution Part 2, the documentary, because God's doing a new thing. There's another Jesus movement. And this film is basically showing America, hey, don't believe everything you see in the news. It's not all darkness. God is also shining his light.
Yeah. So Mike, what started this whole movie? Because yeah. I mean, it's one thing to, write a story and say, I got to, film this and get actors and put things together. And doing a documentary, you are doing a lot of research and pulling things together and trying to find the story in real life. How did you know where to get started, and just kind of how did this thing really come about?
Yeah, well, over a decade ago, I was standing in a parking lot in Northwest Indiana, and this guy randomly approached me and said, I have a prophetic word for you, which I thought was just weird, to get approached in a parking lot like that. And he said, I saw a vision of you doing film, and you're going to be known for film. Which at that point in my life, I didn't even own a camera, to be honest with you. And so then shortly after that, the Lord had spoke to me and said that there's going to be a second Jesus movement in my generation, and that I'm going to be a significant player in that Jesus movement, like round two. Mm-hmm. So matter of fact, this is over a decade ago, long before the movie came out. And I started to call any figure from the first Jesus movement that was still alive and would give me the time. And we would talk on the phone, and I would have them download to me what it was like. And so then coming into the pandemic here in New York City, I'm pastoring a church called V1 Church, which I founded, and I can't physically meet. And mm-hmm. we had three campuses. And so immediately I started shifting into another strategy, which was reaching people online. And I started going viral almost on a daily basis while I was just prophesying and casting out demons and preaching and teaching the scriptures. And that's when it hit me, whoa, this is the beginning of the second Jesus movement. This is that prophetic word. So I've been filming for the last several years a documentary with Netflix-approved cameras behind the scenes, not telling anybody, because I felt like years down the line, this is going to be significant. And then it wasn't until after Come Out in Jesus' Name came out that I found that I heard through the grapevine that there were some CEOs in the movie industry that listen to my sermons and that they enjoy my ministry. So I had my team reach back out to these people and said, hey, we've heard these rumors, and can you confirm it's true? Because if so, Pastor Mike has a movie that he'd like to do. And so they got back to us and they said, yes, it is true. You know, we listen to his sermons. We love his preaching. And so I presented this movie idea and I said, I've got footage of me doing revival events all over the United States. And I also have friends who are revivalists who have this footage, and I'd like to put together a story. Forgive me if some people get offended by this, but like the Avengers Endgame of Christianity, where like, you have all of the superheroes in one movie, but we all have different superpowers. And kind of the idea of it was, we're here to lift the name of Jesus up. But when you do that, then the Holy Spirit will empower you with different gifts so that you can make Jesus known. And so I wanted to make an apostolic movie that shows all the diversity of gifts in the body of Christ and how revival is taking on many different forms. So anyways, we're deep in it now. Tickets are already on sale. The trailer's out on my YouTube channel, and you guys will probably feature it. But it's and tickets are on sale now. So October 31st or 24th is going to be wild. If I could just say briefly something else that's going to be crazy on the 24th is the movie company were like, hey, if we let you simulcast after the movie's over and gave you 30 minutes, so the movie ends and then you have 30 minutes to simulcast across every theater in America, what would you do? And I was like, I mean, you talk about a destiny encounter.
Wow.
I was like, I would preach the unapologetic gospel. Then from that point, I would give people a chance to surrender their addictions all across America. Then I would give people an opportunity to come out of the crowd and to cancel their suicides. Mm-hmm. And when I said that, even the movie people were weeping just hearing that. I said, we'd have thousands of people who make a decision to not end their life. And then after that, I said, you know, of course we would pray for them and break demonic strongholds off their life and stuff. So that's what's happening. October 24th, after the movie airs, we're essentially going to be doing the largest simulcast church service in the history of America, just simulcasting everywhere, this 30-minute service. I honestly do not even understand the magnitude of this responsibility. And I can't, I have a feeling that it's going to, the night that this movie's released, it's going to, imagine Asbury, you know how Asbury just kept going and going.
Right.
I truly believe that whatever happens in theaters across America is going to be like Asbury, but spread across America. There's going to be worship in parking lots. There's going to be people just experiencing the outpouring of God's Spirit. It's like a release of God's glory. So I have a huge expectation for what God's going to do.
I'm believing they're with you. You know, films and movies have a very powerful effect. And it's not just because it's an emotional thing, the story and the truth behind that, especially when there is truth behind that. I remember I was watching the Jesus Revolution, and I just broke down and I started praying spontaneously, God, use me like you did back then.
Wow.
And so you're expecting a similar experience in parking lots in places like that. And to kind of connect back to the Jesus Revolution, you said something that I want to just ask about. You said that you reached out to personally a lot of the people that were alive and involved with the Jesus Revolution back in the 70s. Who were some of these people that you were able to talk to, and what are some things that you really learned from them? Because I think as we're preparing for this next revival to spread, if we're expecting a Jesus Revolution part two, we need to be more prepared than we were for part one.
Oh, that's such a great question. Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the major figureheads had already passed away by this time. So I found myself actually getting phone numbers of people who led in the local churches that were started by Lonnie Frisbee and, you know, his team, and people that were involved in and around that leadership team. And a lot of them, what they said was, you know, it was a time of pioneering. It was a time of embracing new methods, new ways of doing things. Like, for example, people don't understand that before the Jesus movement of the late 60s into the 70s, you know, you didn't have even these modern pulpits like that really came out of the Brian Houston Hillsong infrastructure, like the really sleek, you know, like modern, like plastic pulpits. You had a lot of you know, like hymnal singing, for example, was very normal. If there was a pulpit, it was typically like a big wooden structure. So a lot of the ways that we did church in the 60s and before that, you read out of a hymnal and you sang, you know, you sang a song out of a hymnal. The music was actually, it was not contemporary. So it would like maybe that as modern as it got was like an organ or a piano. And so a lot of what the Jesus movement brought was this pioneering. Like that's when you have contemporary Christian music. That's when we throw out these big wooden pulpits and we have these more relatable tabletops and stands, and things started getting reconfigured, and it affected every denomination. So I really believe that what's going to happen now is that there is going to be a new revolution. It always has to do with technology. So my team, as we were making this movie, we were studying awakenings. So when do awakenings happen, especially in America? And we found that typically there's a, like 30 to 40 years between every like awakening, whether it's a minor awakening or a major awakening. And it almost always coexists with a major technological advance. So for example, once the rail system in America got connected, trains could transport people and goods. And so that became the impetus for the gospel reaching places rapidly. You had the circuit riders who did it via horseback. Mm-hmm. You know, then all of a sudden you go, like I was just at in Hollywood, and the Hollywood Walk of Fame has one true Christian that we could see fruit that remains, and it's Billy Graham. But Billy Graham's not on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for being a preacher. He was a massive radio personality. Mm-hmm. So there's even like the symbol of a radio on Billy Graham's Walk of Fame star because of his accomplishment in that domain. So really, you don't have stadium Billy Graham unless you have radio Billy Graham. Hmm. So there's each one of these awakenings has always been connected to technological advances. So I believe that I made a movie to hopefully show the body of Christ, we are in another shift, we're in another awakening, and now it's the internet, it's social media, it's decentralizing and centralizing, it's global and it's local. And the movie showing that, because, you know, you've got some of the biggest preachers in America that can't draw as much as me and my friends do for revival services. And it's like that we're turning away thousands of people at events. And it's because of the internet. It's because people are watching us do the work on video in a way that really didn't exist. You know, you go back 20, 30 years ago, and I was recently in TBN Studios doing something, and I was thinking about how like that they were the gatekeepers, you know, like the television was, and there is actually a positive to that, by the way. You could vet a lot of bad theology. It's not a bad thing that they were gatekeepers, but now the internet, it's like, I started my journey by putting my phone to my face and going live on Facebook, walking around the streets of New York City. And I was reaching more people. I mean, cause I was going viral every week than old school Christian television could reach if you had your own paid segment. So I believe that the movie is going to show people like, hey, we need to be prepared for pioneering, trying new things, doing new things. And for those that hold on to the hymnals and to the organs and to the old school pulpits, just like, you know, they were holding on to that and they were making that the main issue, they were actually holding themselves back from doing something great for God.
So one of those things that we always need to do, though, is we need to walk in discernment.
Yeah.
You know, I think you recently had a video where you were talking about this AI service in Germany. I mean, I read articles about that as well. But, you know, AI can be used as a tool for good, and it can be used for something that's evil. I mean, but where does an AI preacher come into the mix? And, you know, we need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So how do we have discernment as we are weighing through this new technology, getting ready for this wave of a new awakening?
Yeah, it's more important than ever before that Christians enter into the spiritual life. You know, most of what we do satisfies our flesh and satisfies our soulish realm. And so we've got to enter into the spiritual realm. And the reason why I say that is because God creates and Satan counterfeits. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is fully God. He's a member of the Trinity. And Jesus ascended to heaven and said, just wait and I'll release my promise, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And then now the Holy Spirit indwells all believers. Mm-hmm. And we know Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be witnesses. So look at what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the source of all knowledge. Another scripture says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So the Holy Spirit is both individual and ubiquitous. The Holy Spirit is the source of all knowledge, both and provides that knowledge and is able to teach all things to individuals. What is AI? ChatGPT and AI, it's the same thing. It's a replica. Mm-hmm. And so it's like it'll teach you all things. It'll show you all things. And individually, you can ask AI questions. And as it gets better and better and better, I'm telling you, we're getting into a dark era where instead of people being counseled by the word of God, they're going to be counseled by AI. You know, even therapy, think about it. The more AI listens to all your phone calls and all sees all the content you consume and you gravitate towards, it will become a counterfeit, a demonic counterfeit to the Holy Spirit. I 100% believe that. The way that, think about when we pray to God in heaven. So we send information to a distant place through the Holy Spirit. We're communing with God. And then we get these prophetic downloads. There's going to be people having full-blown conversations with AI, but treating it as a God. It's coming. It's irrevocable. And they're going to, because we live in a secular humanistic society, which means that most of them don't believe in the existence of God. They believe that they are essentially a God in the sense that they created all their problems and they can solve all their problems. And they're going to elevate technology up to that point of a deity. And to me, I think that's when you see a lot of antichrist infrastructure even more. Mm. So it just, yeah, because at the end of the day, anything that solves somebody's problems, and this is why when you read the Old Testament, there was a strict prohibition against witchcraft because Israel had neighboring countries. And so they would hear, oh, if you need help in your love life, we have this practice with this deity that helps. Oh, if you need, if your physical condition, you need something for your health, we have a form of worship and you can do this thing that will help it. So Israel was constantly seeking solutions in the gods and the deities of these other nations. And then that caused them to get off and the Lord would severely judge them and they would go through that. And you see that over and over and over again. So in my estimation, as AI continues, we're going to see way more of just people looking for a solution. And then they're going to find their counsel in the computer, not through Christ. And that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I find it interesting that, you know, the God is real and then all these other things are counterfeit. I mean, literally, yeah. Artificial is another word for counterfeit. It's yes. Counterfeit intelligence. And yeah, we can use that's it as good. A tool. We can use it as a way to get a start for something and kind of, you know, have fill in some outlines and stuff like that. But, you know, if we're relying on that, it's going to deceive us. I mean, I know there's I read an article about a lawyer that just put up his legal case and wrote used ChatGPT to get his arguments, and the judge threw out the case and wow. Basically because this guy ChatGPT, I believe it was the article claimed that it was creating references that did not exist, huh. And so yeah, discernment I think is really really important, but. I mean, we kind of diverted a little bit from what the original context of our conversation is, which is the domino revival. But yeah. One of those dominoes that's going to fall is AI.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to affect a lot of different areas. And so tell us more about this domino revival and what we can expect with that. Cause I know you said,
yeah,
it's from even before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and now after the pandemic. So you're seeing basically three different scenes or three different acts of this.
Yeah. Well, and just to your point, like what does AI have to do with this? It's the prophets of Baal versus Elijah. Whenever there's the fake, like, hey, we're going to call down fire from heaven, then God will divinely interrupt and say, okay, let's see whose God is the real God. And so it's like prophets of Baal versus Elijah is going to be AI versus the Holy Spirit, and God will never be outmatched. There's no way. He's never going to be outdone. And so as sin in the world increases, as and I say increase because, I mean, I talk about this all the time, but this goes with the domino revival and what people can expect. Things are getting darker. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back to the 80s and 90s, in order to even view pornography, you would have had to purchase it and order it to come to your home through the mail and hope that your spouse doesn't open the mail, or you'd had to go to the local Blockbuster and go walk past the creepy section with a curtain that you'd have to actually provide an ID so that people knew what you were doing, that you were old enough to even go back there and check out a movie. Accessibility was it was there, it was available, but it was a limited accessibility to pornography. It was a little bit harder to get it. And nowadays, it's right at your fingertips. You have like literally a portal to hell at your fingertips. And so a lot of pastors are like, oh, everything's not a demon. It's like, yeah, but demons love for you to believe that. Mm-hmm. Because not everything, you're right. Sometimes it is just the flesh. But we have a generation that's able to entertain perversions on their phone that wouldn't even have made it into other movies or magazines 30 years ago when it's ubiquitous in video games. And I mean, we are dealing with a level of frequent sin that goes far beyond just carnality. We're getting into these crazy demonic realms. Not only that, but it's normalized. And then the new age, again, you go, you know, it used to be you want to see a psychic medium, you got to go walk into their place of business. They maybe they operate out of their house, pay them physical cash money. There was a barrier to these experiences. Now you go on the internet and you can get access to psychic mediums on every social media platform and, you know, different websites and things. So again, as the phone gave people like unfettered access, so the sin is just multiplying because you can satisfy whatever desire, whether it's the new age, occult practices, voodoo, witchcraft, or, you know, lust, perversion, whatever. And so now what does God do? As that's increasing, the Bible says that the Lord will lift up a standard against. So that just means, however, wherever sin abounds, grace is actually greater. So we now have the conditions for greater grace. We now have the conditions for God to lift up a standard above it. And so that's what revival is. Revival essentially is things are getting worse, but because they're getting worse, it's activating greater measures of God's glory and greater measures of God's power. Like, it's not a normal thing for fire to it's not a normal thing for fire to come down from heaven, but it is when there's hundreds of prophets of Baal masquerading around with bad theology. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, okay, here's the bad news, Elijah. You have hundreds and hundreds of prophets of Baal who want to kill you, and they're trying to actively recruit the people of God. That's the bad news. The good news is, though, that level of persecution is actually going to produce some of the greatest miraculous things ever recorded. So that's what revival is. It's like, hey, America, we are more confused than we've ever been about our identity and sexuality, but that's just the conditions for God's power being released to a degree we've never seen before.
Yeah. So this film, though, you have life basically, you started this before the pandemic. So this has been a long process that you've been going through. So yeah. Just tell us about some of these documented miracles that you have captured on film.
Yeah. We filmed everything with the thought that like one day people are going to want to see this, but it's also because I was a big fan of the original Jesus movement. And I was a big fan of, there's one kind of like one documentary that actually exists from back in the day. It's very hard to find it though, because it was never like mass produced and released. And I remember watching that footage and seeing how they would evangelize in the streets and how they were finding new ways. And I remember thinking, oh, like, we're doing our version of that today. You know, I live here in New York City, and David Wilkerson was really big into media. And I've watched so much footage of David Wilkerson in the streets of New York City just doing ministry. And I'm so thankful for that heritage. And so anyways, that's kind of how this started. So pre-pandemic, I started filming. Then during the pandemic, I was continuing to film. Then sort of like the tail end of the pandemic till today is when I've been traveling all around the world saying, I want to meet these people in person that are always in my comment sections. And so one of the stories is we were in Huntington Beach, and we had over 1,000 people gather in Huntington Beach at a pavilion. And I was taking everybody through forgiveness. And, you know, you don't forgive because the other person deserves it. You forgive because you deserve to be free. And a lot of people hold on to unforgiveness. The Bible says bitterness will rot your bones. And so there's physical conditions that I believe that are connected to unforgiveness. So it's very common for me to take a large group of people through the process of forgiving, even saying the person's name out loud. You know, the Bible says, forgive one another that you might be healed. Yeah. And so they'll say, you know, say their name out loud, I forgive. And sometimes they're repulsed by the idea of even saying the name because they haven't said that name in years. People have abused them in many different ways. People have hurt them. But I'll say, how could you receive forgiveness from Christ and yet hold unforgiveness against someone else? You're blocking a breakthrough. So anyways, in Huntington Beach, this woman had neuropathy in her hands. So her hands were completely numb. She had lost all feeling in her hands. And immediately after we went through the forgiveness portion and she said, I forgive, blah, 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 that curse was broken and the full feeling went back in her hands. She was able to open her hands completely and she just started waving at me. And I'm like, you, this woman in the back, what happened? And she was like, I just forgave and the neuropathy left my hands and I'm completely healed. And I mean, she was screaming and crying. It was a powerful moment. Obviously, we caught that on film. And there's just so many moments like that. And usually there's a connection between repentance, renouncing, breaking curses, forgiving, and then just seeing the miraculous breakout.
Wow. Wow. So somebody had healing in their hands.
Yeah.
So you've got more though.
Oh yeah. I mean,
I don't want you to give away everything because I want people to go on October 24th to see this film. But you know,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about more.
Well, yeah. Again, whenever you tell a testimony, the Bible says it becomes the spirit of prophecy declaring God do it again. So that's like when you tell testimonies, it's literally someone's testimony is someone else's prophecy of what God's about to do. So anyways, the Lord, so there's this song that is really big right now that the lyrics say day and night, night and day, let incense arise. And we were doing that song at one event and the Lord told me, so day and night, night and day, let incense arise. So what is that? It's a sign that there should be a perpetual incense before the Lord of prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So the Bible says pray without ceasing. So what is the demonic counterfeit? It's chronic pain. So there's chronic praise, then there's chronic pain. And so people are hurting all day and night physically in their body. There's chronic illness. So the Lord told me, put on that song and every single event you do, I'm going to exchange chronic pain for chronic praise. And I did a call for people with chronic illness and I just started watching people get healed all over the United States of chronic illness. So lupus, Hashimoto's, all kinds of just, what do they call it?
Autoimmune.
Yes, that was exactly what I was thinking. Thank you. Autoimmune disease. A lot of autoimmune disease. And you know, it's funny, some of that stuff is undiagnosable or, you know, mysterious to doctors. They can't find a cause. And sometimes it's a spirit of infirmity. You know, sometimes it's biological. We have had viruses in people's body that died, you know, like lupus, but we just saw healings. And what's crazy is we still are receiving testimonies from people that we prayed for 6 months ago that now have gotten the third medical verification that it's completely gone. So just seeing that, seeing chronic illness healed on film and God dealing with that is just amazing.
That's really cool. And so in amongst this film, you're still having conferences and you're still doing things. You had one recently that you were just telling me about. The Breakers Conference, which is a great way for people to get the Breakers app, to get trained, to get equipped so that you too can be a part of this team to reach out and evangelize the world and be ready for deliverance. And especially after this film, which we're expecting great things at the end of that on October 24th, the Domino Revival, be ready. So get the Breakers app. But you just had this Breakers Conference, which is a V1 Church conference. Tell us about some of the things that happened there.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm based out of New York City and we are currently kind of marching our way towards a stadium-sized event out here. Each year it gets bigger. So I was in one of the larger events or event spaces in New Jersey and we just encountered a lot of demonic resistance. And quite frankly, we just felt like we were being squeezed, that they were sabotaging the event to try to get us to end it. at whatever cost. I think what they didn't account for is that people are so hungry for a legitimate move of God and revival in this country that we refuse to shut it down unnecessarily. And we just saw God move. I mean, thousands of people delivered, hundreds and hundreds of medically verifiable miracles. The testimonies are still rolling in. Hmm. And even the venue, it was a two-day event, Saturday and Sunday. We do it every year. And they canceled the contract for the next day, for the Sunday, which again, if you're not in a head-on collision with the devil, it's because you're running the same direction.
They canceled the contract while you were in the middle of the conference.
Yeah. And they said, wow, we will not allow you to meet day two. And I took it as a badge of honor because we operate with excellence. Our team is elite. I mean, we have the best worship team. My worship team is on a record label, just to give you an idea of the caliber of worship and the technology. We had very renowned people there working on things. So this was no fault of our own or any of the leaders or speakers. It was just a political and religious opposition that we experienced in the Northeast, which, as you guys know, is not the Bible Belt. And they canceled our contract for Sunday. And so what I did was I opened up our Brooklyn space, which we meet in for our Brooklyn campus. Thankfully, it has about 1,000 person capacity. So we were just able to do multiple services and get everybody in and God moved. It was actually day two, I think, was more powerful in the end. God just showed off in a major way. So but you know what it was? That persecution became a rallying point. It became a unifier, and God used it. So because persecution puts you on the map, you know, persecution, once people started to see what was happening, they rallied behind it. They said, no, like, you know, this is the breakers. Let's break through.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad that you were able to have a solution for that and quickly, which is really good. Cause
yeah,
you know, that could be a big stressor there, but I think that ties back into what we were talking about earlier with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. I mean, he was up against all this opposition that was false, but we know, I mean, he had just himself, and he was the one that called down fire from heaven because, you know, God is the true God. And so you had that type of opposition where it was insurmountable odds and they were trying to get you to stop, and you just figured out another solution and kept going.
Yeah.
So kudos to you. I mean, that's really good.
Well, yeah, I just want to shout out my team because, you know, wherever there's a big sacrifice, there's a big fire. God never releases fire independent of sacrifice. Mm. It's like it's fire is a response to sacrifice. And it just took hundreds of volunteers sacrificing to say, we're going to get very little or no sleep. We're going to, we had to pack the entire venue. Imagine packing an entire venue's worth of equipment in just a few hours at night because your contract gets canceled, and then having to shift it over 30 miles east over the state lines. And if you know anything about New Jersey, New York City, it's very difficult to drive trucks and things of that nature through that. I mean, all the odds were against us. And shout out to the team, because behind every leader is an even better team. Mm-hmm. And they made it happen. But again, we call ourselves the Wild Ones. And we say we are the Wild Ones. Like, you won't stop us. We'll do this in a parking lot. I don't care, because you're not going to stop revival. And, you know, as a leader, I hate the way that things went down. I know that I couldn't change them because God was sovereignly on the move.
Amen. Amen. You know, Pastor Mike, as we're wrapping up here, we promised at the beginning of this interview that you have a word that you recently released on your Facebook page, which is close to 500,000 views and a lot of shares and likes. But I mean, it's not just because, you know, people were encouraged by that. Obviously, if God has a word for the masses, he's going to get it out there. Like it says in Isaiah 55, that his word goes forth and it will accomplish what his intention is. Yeah. And so I'm just going to ask you to kind of recap that word and share that with our audience that have been able to stick with us this far.
Yeah, absolutely. This word, I had such a strong prompting that I grabbed my phone. And when you see the video on Facebook, it's just me walking through New York City neighborhood. But I was just amazed that it got over 30,000 likes, and it's got like 32,000 comments, which my mind can't even fathom 32,000 comments. But I believe that that was a sign that it was resonating with so many people, that it was hitting the mark. And it's a very simple word. And I believe this word is more for just the body of Christ at large. It's very simple, very, very simple. But I heard the Lord saying that it's time to remind yourself of what He's already done. There's something about a new opposition or a new struggle that is causing the body of Christ to forget the old miracle, the old healing. And so if you feel like there's a struggle in your body, remember the last time He healed you, because He hasn't changed. He's still the healer. Last time you came up against a financial obstacle and you said, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this financially. Well, remind yourself of the last time He was faithful in your finances. You serve the same God. And so I believe that the body of Christ is facing some new challenges right now, but it's just a very simple word. But I feel like the Lord was telling me, remind them of who I am. Remind them of what I've already done. Remind them of my goodness. And if you'll go back to that posture and say, God, I know who You are. You're faithful to the end. You're faithful in my finances, faithful in my health. You're faithful with the dreams and vision and the destiny. You gave me these other opportunities. You opened these other doors. You directed my path the last time I was confused, the last time I didn't know what to do. You've always been there, because if they'll get in that position, I feel like the body of Christ is at a juncture, like a fork in the road. And on one side, it's go into doubt, go into fear, go into anxiety, go into depression, go deeper into unbelief. Or that the other road is to say, no, God, you, it's almost like this Davidic word. You delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear. Surely You'll deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. So it's a new challenge, but there's an old victory that's going to bring faith for the new challenge. And so God's really trying to help it, because if we'll go into this other route, then what'll happen is that we're on the precipice of a major breakthrough. And right now we're in the month of July, which I believe that July, there's been a lot of prophetic words about new things, new. I think what many prophets failed to diagnose is that new opportunities always bring new opposition. And so for as much was prophesied about the month of July, new opportunities, new this, new that, I agree, but also new opposition, because in the month of August, September, October, I see like a 3-month span that is actually going to bring major breakthrough into these higher levels. And people who have been working on things in the summer and toiling on things, even the season before the summer, like so spring, I saw that the people of God have been working on things, and it's almost like, God, is this going to work? Did you call me to this? Is this not going to work? Or are the results going to be minimal? Because I thought the results were going to be exponential. And I really believe that right now we're like in a pivot in July, because August, September, October, we're going to start to see the answer. Like, no, it is exponential return. No, it is going to be the maximums, not the minimums. No. And then by November, it's actually November is going to feel like a major celebration point. Like, November is the victory lap. November is the vindication. November is like, I told you so. So right now it's like July is the crossroads for those who go correctly into the right direction of remembering, staying in a posture of gratitude, stay in a posture of faith and believing. Then August, September, October, they begin to see things happen. And then by November, they're celebrating it publicly. So that's kind of the word that the Lord gave me, but some bonus. But I know you guys can watch the rest by going to the original broadcast.
Yeah. You know, Mike, as you were talking about that, I think it's really important that everybody that's watching this, I want to encourage you to, in the comments of this video, to write what it is that you're believing God for, and that we can believe with you, but also write in another comment of what it is that God has done, that you're using that to remind yourself of His faithfulness, of who He's been. So write two comments there. First one is what you're believing for, and we can believe with you. Everybody that's watching this, everybody that's myself and Mike, as we read the comments, we're going to pray and we're going to believe with you that we're going to see God do these things. But rehearse the past miracles, rehearse the past things that God has done, and let others respond to that as well, because we're going to build faith as you rehearse what God has done there. Mike, does that resonate with you? Is absolutely. That okay to give that challenge there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because you have to declare a thing. Yeah. You know, the first book of the Bible, the oldest, is actually Job, not Genesis. And people don't know that. Chronologically, it was canonized for Genesis to be first, but Job's the oldest book of the Bible. And there's a verse that says, I will decree a thing and it will be established unto me. So when you go into the comment section and you're decreeing it, you're operating in a realm of faith to begin to mobilize that thing, because the just will walk by faith, will live by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. So those comment sections, they're more than just a social media comment section. It's a declaration section. Mm-hmm. It's a decree section. This is where the work happens, you know? So do your homework, get in there and yeah. level up.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I appreciate every time that we get a chance to talk together and share what's going on in the world that God has you in up in New York. And actually, really, you're around the world, which is great because you've been to Brazil recently. You've been traveling a lot. And so it's great that I was able to connect with you here to talk about your upcoming film, which is October 24th. You got to get tickets ahead of time. Make sure it's going to sell out. We've seen other Christian films selling out. I mean, we've got things like Sound of Freedom that are doing phenomenal. Yeah. We've got The Jesus Revolution. We've got Come Out in Jesus' Name, which, you know, it was in the theaters way longer than anybody expected, but it's because God is moving in the big screen. And you got to get a part of this next one, which is the Domino Revival. So you can actually kind of see like a prequel to Come Out in Jesus' Name and a prequel to even Jenny Weaver's film, Deborah's Arise. And so just kind of like, because God spoke to Mike a while ago, start this project. And now we're going to get to see a greater story and give God more glory with that. So Mike Signorelli, it's great to have you here on Charisma News.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate it. This was an awesome broadcast.
Thank you, brother. God bless.
God bless.